Hey everyone, my name is Andrew Laubacher. Most people call me A-Lob. I'm super excited to share with you that I'm partnering with Spirit-Filled Hearts and Christ Cathedral for a night of worship for young adults. On March 21st at 7 p.m., we want every young adult from ages 18 to 35 to come out and pray and worship with us. It's an opportunity for us to pray for revival, for renewal in our young adult community. We're going to be having praise and worship, a full band, prayer ministry, the sacraments. If you're really close to God and love Jesus, this is a great opportunity just to soak in His presence, experience fellowship. If you feel far away from your faith, this is a great opportunity for you to reconnect with the local community. So we invite you to come. It's a free event, March 21st at Christ Cathedral in the Free Theater. We'll see you there.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back high atop the Tower of Hope in Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange, California. And we're back again with two of our favorite people, certainly my favorite person, my wife, Marianne, of 46 years. Welcome back, Marianne.
Thank you, Steve.
And Michael Amola, who is Vice President of our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, and one of the founders, along with Marianne and myself and Katie Hughes. Welcome back to the show, Michael.
It's great to be here, Deacon.
So what are we going to talk about today that is so critical to all of us? Well, one of the most important things is marriage and family. And we have talked in the past about overcoming adversity of families that we all endure in marriages. But what is a Catholic marriage and family? And why is it so important to be married within the Catholic Church? Well, if you're Catholic, it should be a no-brainer, but in the 7 points of really understanding Catholic marriage and family, the first point is to consecrate the marriage to Christ, to Jesus. And we consecrate that marriage to Jesus by starting off on the right track. You and I, Marianne, were teaching for many years a program called Marriage in the Lord.
A marriage prep course.
Yes. A marriage prep course prior to getting married to engaged couples, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd ask them, we'd say, well, now, what's the most important things in a strong marriage? And what would they say?
Well, they'd come up with good answers like communication and honesty and all sorts of things. But they always missed one.
They always missed one. You know, it was always like, you know, trust and relationship, communication, sexual relation, you know, all those things. But out of about, let's say, 100 different couples, I think there were less than five.
Oh, no, there was only one.
Really only one?
I think there was
okay.
only one.
Okay, well, that's less than five. there was very few that said, Jesus, the Lord, is the center of every successful marriage.
Wow.
Because the reality is, it's building your house on solid ground and not building it on sand. And we see this on Matthew 7:24-27, that whoever listens to these words of mine and acts upon them will be a wise man who built his house on rock. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, but did not collapse because it had been set solidly on rock. Whoever listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. We're starting a marriage, Michael, and to start a marriage without having Jesus at the center of it, which means you get married in the sacrament of marriage within the church. It certainly could be a mass, which a priest will be there. It could be the rite of marriage, in which a deacon performs that, but it's within the church setting. So many people want call me up and say, will you marry me on the beach? Will you marry me at this destination resort and so forth? And those are all wonderful things. But not to begin your life together based upon the Lord. Why is it so important, in your opinion, Michael, that you put Jesus at the center of the marriage and that you start off in the right way with the sacrament of marriage, being married before a priest or deacon in the church?
Well, I had mentioned before and a number of times that when my wife and I decided to get married, we knew that we wanted a faith-based marriage. We wanted the Lord in our life. And the church is the temple where the Lord resides. I mean, and, you know, we got married here in Orange County at Holy Family Cathedral, and the good fortune of being married by then Father, now Monsignor John Urell. And that was 36 years ago. And to this day, I run across him, you know, within the Catholic community. And, you know, I'm always reminded of what we learned from him as we were preparing for marriage and, you know, meeting with him and being counseled by him. And the marriage ceremony, I mean, it kind of brought everything together under the Lord's roof and consecrated our marriage in a profound way, because our faith has been part of our life for the last 37 years.
And it's so important, my brothers and sisters, to understand that there's grace associated with being married again within that church, within the Catholic Church. Now, some of you are listening and you're thinking to yourself, well, I was married by the Justice of Peace. I was married in a Protestant church or another church. I've never been married in a Catholic church. I'm Catholic. I consider myself Catholic. I go to church on Sundays. Well, contact your diocese or contact your parish, actually. Contact a priest or a deacon and say, what can I do to have my marriage validated? What can I do to have the marriage within the church? And have them talk to you about the process on how to do that. And that's something that I do as a deacon all the time, is that people perhaps were married in other locations or, again, outside the church setting, but they realize now that it's so important to be married within the church, even when they've been married for 10 years or longer. You know, very, very important. But is this consecration of the marriage before the throne of grace, before Jesus, before the sacrament of marriage in that church setting, that's so important? And then you lift up that marriage to the Lord. And as a Catholic, one of the things that's so important is to understand that you begin in prayer. And that's at the essence of what you do during a Mass and what you do during that sacrament of marriage, the rite of marriage, is that you're praying.
Yes, and it's really centering your marriage around the Lord. Your relationship is with you and your spouse and the Lord. And that's really the glue that holds it together. And I think today, now so many couples get married and they go through all this ceremony on the beach or whatever because it looks good. And they forget to include the Lord in their marriage. And we need to center on him, because that's really what holds it together. It's not the beach you got married on.
Well, the reality, you can have a reception there, though, right?
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
We had a reception down close to the water with our daughter. But, you know, again, married within the church is so critical. When you get married within the church, it starts the road off appropriately in terms of putting God at the center of it. But putting God at the center of your family also means consecrating your family to the Lord, your children. And that starts with baptism. You know,
absolutely.
So many people don't feel like, well, I don't really need to have my child baptism. The rite of baptism is the initiation of all seven sacraments. And in fact, as it says in John 3, we must be born of water and spirit. As Nicodemus went to Jesus and said, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born of water and spirit. And it's important to understand the fact that baptism is that critical nature of consecrating your child to the throne of grace and to Jesus.
I might mention that Mary and Joseph thought it was so important that they brought Jesus as a baby to the temple to be dedicated. And, you know, you think, why would they need to do that? They had Jesus. But it was important. And so we need to realize how important it is to give our children to the Lord and have that baptism.
So, Michael, from your vantage point, why is baptism so critical? I was fortunate to baptize one of your grandchildren.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that. There's been a shift, as we're all very aware, in, you know, society, in our thought process, and, you know, to some extent in values. And I know when we were raising our children, it was never a question. You know,
right.
It was just what was going to happen. I was Catholic, you know, I was baptized a Catholic, as was my wife. You know, we got married in the church, and we had this vision. I think we were still influenced by the Cleavers, Leave It to Beaver. I mean, we had this sense of what we wanted. I wanted, you know, my family to look like, you know, we went through this process, and my three children were baptized by Father Ken O'Keefe, who since passed away, was the pastor of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And my first child, and this was probably a little omen of what was to come in my life, but my son, Mark, was baptized by the deacon of our church.
Woo-hoo!
in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where he was born. And it was a natural thing. And I wanted that protection. I wanted that influence in their lives. And they are influenced by it. And it was kind of, that's the way it needs to be.
It is so critical, my brothers and sisters. Now, for some grandparents listening in, I know your anguish because your grandchildren have not been baptized. Well, if you basically go to your parish priest and talk to them about it, there are solutions in which if the family gives permission that you will raise the children Catholic, there are solutions. But, you know, find out, each parish priest may handle that slightly different based upon the circumstance. Ideally, again, if one parent wants to baptize, you know, that certainly is very, very important. Again, it depends upon the circumstance involved with that particular family, but find a solution by working with the family and working with your parish, because it's just so important that you not stay on the sideline and say, well, I'm just going to have to endure my grandchildren not being baptized. Find a solution to try and get them baptized.
Yeah, you can't give up. I mean, we have our men's group on Friday morning, and that's one of the things that, you know, almost to a person, you know, is discussed, where they have a grandchild who's not baptized, and we're constantly reminded we need to pray about it. You can, as you say, Deacon, we can't give up. I mean, it has to be a continual petition.
My brothers and sisters, we're talking about a very, very critical subject. What does it mean to be Catholic and married? What does it mean to have a Catholic family? This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about the very, very steps needed in order to strengthen Catholic marriages and families. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Experience the profound power of The Passion According to St. Luke, performed by Leonardo DeFilippis, director and star of the feature film Thérèse. In this one-hour presentation, you will encounter Christ speaking directly to you, dying for you personally, and giving you the hope of eternal life. The Passion According to St. Luke is suitable for all ages and is coming soon to our area.
Come see The Passion at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove's Fried Theater, March 16th, 17th, and 18th. For ticket info, visit ccdramaseries.com.
We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Marianne Greco, my bride, and Michael Mola. We're all part of the Spirit-Filled Hearts ministry. Check us out at spiritfulhearts.org or contact me at deaconsteve@spiritfulhearts.org. We're talking about Catholic marriage and family. The reality is that many Catholic marriages fail. I think statistics are very similar to the world out there.
I think they're the same.
Oh yeah, they're about the same. And so we have a long way to go to strengthen Catholic marriages and to strengthen families in the faith, in which they're not just confirmed, but they stay Catholic. You know, they don't drop out. They don't say in their 20s that they don't have any religion or church affiliation or the nose and so forth and so forth. And
those
and
are a lot of real challenges we have in today's
world. Yeah, that's the reality of what we face. So the first 2 points was really being married in the church, starting it off right. Consecrating your family to the Lord through baptism, through the sacraments, obviously. And the third point is to attend Mass. Let's start off by husband and wife. It is so critical to attend Mass as often as you can. I mean, I'm at the point where attending Mass daily, whenever possible, is absolutely critical. But make a point of going with your spouse. Let's start there first, perhaps before you have children, whatever. But make a point of going to Mass together and praying together at Mass. Why is that important, Marianne?
Well, because you're focused together on the Lord, and it is so powerful. The couple and the sacrament of the marriage is just enhanced by that whole thing. And so, you know, I'd say, you know, and even for couples that have maybe a mixed marriage where one isn't Catholic, so many couples like that, I know they still bring their spouse with them to attend Mass with them. And there's strength in that, that they're going together and they're praying together. And you know, if it's not that fun for someone, let's make it fun afterwards. We'll go out for coffee or, you know, do something together afterwards to extend it. Make it a little bit more interesting for if one individual isn't that excited about it.
Michael, why is it important to be in that pew as I see you every week with your wife? And what makes that so important as it relates to strengthening a marriage?
Well, I think that, you know, on a weekly basis, it brings us together as husband and wife and eventually as family. It brings us together to be with the Lord for an hour and to practice our faith and to rejuvenate the spiritual part of our marriage. I'm blessed that in going to Mass, I don't think of Mass as an obligation. It's where I want to be. And it's like any other relationship we have. Do you want to spend time with your best friend, you know, your wife? And God is my best friend. And I want to spend time with him. And I'm continually reminded, Deacon, you talk about daily Mass. I have the good fortune of being able to go to daily Mass most days. And every day, I am thankful that I have that opportunity, and not feeling an obligation, but rather feeling that my faith journey is being guided and is being reinforced by the fact that, you know, on a daily basis, I can spend time with the Lord.
And you know, you said something, Michael, when you have a good relationship or something really wonderful in your life, you want to share it with someone you love. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so important that, you know, we have that feeling of attending Mass, we want to share it with the person we love. We want to be there with them and have that experience together. Mm-hmm. And it's important to share that. And so I encourage couples that even maybe they aren't both Catholic, but to if you love that person, you want to experience their love of the Lord and that Mass with them.
Well, and it's interesting because we know a couple, Nina and Jerry, and they, you know, one is Catholic, one is not, but they participate in Mass every week. And, you know, they're a delightful, wonderful couple that has faith as a basis of their marriage.
Yes.
It's so important, my brothers and sisters, that you let the Mass, the grace and sacraments, you know, really fill your heart and soul of your marriage and family. Now, that leads us to not Catholic guilt, but leads us to a very, very critical, important subject, taking your children to Mass.
Ooh.
Right?
It becomes harder when they get older.
And even when they're younger.
Well,
they're,
that's true.
They're fighting and screaming and yelling. I don't want to go. It's boring. It's this, it's that, whatever. You know, a friend of mine who lives in Tennessee that I used to work with, we talked about this, and she's a very strong Catholic with four great children. And she said, you know, the kids say, oh, I don't want to go to church. I don't get anything out of it, whatever it might be. And she said, it's not an option. It's not open for discussion. As long as you're in this house and living in this house, you will go to church with us. And into subject. And she said, I said the same thing. I didn't want to go to church to my mother. And I'm so glad that my mother insisted that we go to church, because if my mother gave in and gave me my way, I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I think it teaches is just the obedience. You know, there's sometimes when we may not feel great about going to church. It's hard. We had a late night and we have to get up early in the morning, but it's that obedience of doing it. And then we learn that when we do it, we're so blessed for going to church. It's such a blessing that you receive when you're there, but sometimes we have that pull and tug. And so it's helping the children learn, you know, yeah, you may not feel like it, but go ahead and try it. You'll be blessed for it.
Well, the foundation of the word disciple is what? Discipline. Discipline. Mm-hmm. In order to receive the holiness and graces that God has in store for us and every spiritual blessing, as it says in Ephesians 1, we must be disciplined. And being disciplined means whether we feel like it or not, or as it says in Timothy, whether it be convenient or inconvenient, we make it a priority. What are the priorities in your life? The Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, the Eucharist, every single day. So, so, so critical.
Well, as parents, we have this responsibility. And, you know, as I think about my children, you know, there are times when they didn't want to go to school. They don't want to go to the dentist.
Right.
You know, there's just a myriad of things that they don't want to do. But as a parent, and as Deacon, you reflect on often, as the spiritual head of the household, I have a responsibility. And, you know, I'm a parent, and I have to carry out that responsibility. And, yeah, there's all sorts of challenges, you know, not making light of it because I've certainly dealt with it. But, you know, the reality is that as we do that, and as we come together to church as a family, and our children get involved with the sacraments, you know, receive, you know, their first Holy Communion, sacrament of reconciliation, go through confirmation, that's being built in their core. And I know for me personally, I was a fallen away Catholic for over 10 years, and yet that teaching and that strength was in me to the point where when I made the decision I wanted to be married, I absolutely knew that it had to be a faith-based marriage. So I'm sowing that seed in my family. I'm putting the mustard seed in them.
Well, what does it say again, Joshua? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And so as for me, for us, our household, we will consecrate our household to the Lord, and in serving the Lord means that we need to get the strength of the body and blood of Jesus Christ as often as possible, daily, through Mass, and certainly at least on Sundays where you go to Mass. Fourth point, we're talking about Catholic marriage and family, consecrating our marriage to the Lord by being married in the church, consecrate our families to the Lord through baptism, attending Mass as often as possible, certainly as a family, once on Sundays, but often, if you can, beyond that. And the fourth point is praying together as a family and praying together as a husband and wife. Unbelievably difficult. Why is that unbelievably difficult? Because it's so important. Yeah. It's so important. You know, you can pray, Michael, you and I could pray, or anyone can pray with strangers easier than it is sometimes to pray with your family. Mm-hmm. And yet, Marianne, when you and I pray together, we pray together before I leave in the morning or you leave in the morning. We pray together at meals. We pray together at prayer meetings. We pray together at times. When we pray together, we know the power of the Lord is there.
It's so powerful. And yes, it is difficult. And I don't know why it's difficult, whether it's an intimate moment that we...
It's spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
It's so critical. Yeah. The devil makes it or puts it in a situation where it makes it more difficult. I mean, that's my belief.
People...
is that it's an attack from the enemy. And the reality is, if we knew how important it was,
we'd
strength in marriages and families, we'd be praying together all the time.
Absolutely. And then I think, you know, if we, even families that pray the rosary, like I know your Greco side of the family prayed the rosary as a extended family, got together once a week. And the power in it is so powerful that we need to really look at that and maybe establish just, even if you start with a tiny little prayer with your husband or your spouse or your children, you know, every time they get a boo-boo, stop and pray. You know, if they hurt their arm, they fall down. Just interject prayer everywhere in your family.
And certainly pray at meals. I know that sounds like a no-brainer, but pray at meals at restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Pray at meals everywhere. You know, it's the little things that go along.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, and what's interesting with that, I have three grandchildren, and the oldest is 5, the youngest is only 19 months, but the 3-year-old and the 5-year-old, they understand that when we sit down at the table, we give grace, we pray grace on the meal, and there's not a second thought, and we try not to make the distinction. I wouldn't be totally honest if I said that the distinction sometimes doesn't occur where we're in a public place and, you know, some people have a discomfort with, you know, praying grace in a public place. But why would I not thank the Lord for the meal that he's putting in front of me, be it in a restaurant or be it at the table at my home? And I don't see that distinction, and I love it when, you know, my 5-year-old grandson, especially, he'll sit down and he wants to eat, but he knows that we need to say grace, you know. And so at 5 years old, he's already starting to understand that.
And one of the most important things we've done as a family is all 4 of our grandchildren say the grace. So all 4 of them say the grace, and we alternate, you know, we just were together, for about 8 days and we alternate each grandchild saying grace, and it's so important to them and so beautiful. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are empowered by the Spirit. We're talking more about Catholic marriage and family. We'll be right back.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Fridays? And this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's fish taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are here in beautiful Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange, California, in Garden Grove. And we are talking about Catholic marriage and family with Marianne Greco and Michael Amola. We're all part of Spirit-Filled Hearts ministry. We're all excited to share with you our experience being married in the case of Marianne and I for 46 years, 3 children, 4 grandchildren. How long have you been married, Michael?
It'll be 37 next month.
God bless you with 4 children, including triplets. So we've been there and done that and are still there, right? And we're talking about how to strengthen that marriage and family. Certainly being married in the church, you know, consecrating your marriage to the Lord through sacraments and so forth, very, very critical. Baptism, consecrating, starting off right with your family before the Lord. Mass together as a community, family, marriages together, attending Mass, children attending Mass, bringing them whether they like it or not. But obviously doing everything you can to help explain to them what the Mass parts are, right?
Yeah.
Explain to them the power of the Eucharist. And to the point where you did that, in which 2 of our grandchildren at the time, you know, were not going to receive First Communion, and they went to their mother and said, I want to receive. And now, of course, they do.
Yeah, and it's also the attitude of approaching Mass with joy in your heart. Like Michael said, I want to be there. That's infectious. If I go taking my family with that attitude rather than, let's all just drag you here and keep it a positive, then it's going to be caught throughout the family.
The fourth point, we were talking about praying together, the importance of it, and yet the challenges of it. Doing things like praying together at meals, praying together, obviously, at bedtime. And I have to give a shout out to Tillman Neckman, my son-in-law. We were just there again for 8-9 days over the holidays, and they're in New York. And he has a litany. In fact, I think he does a litany of the saints and so forth.
He does.
He has one prayer after another, and they memorize it, and they pray it together, evening prayer, as the kids are going to bed.
It's a ritual they do every night. He reads them a book, and then they go into prayer. But, boy, I wish I had started my family that way.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. It's so awesome. And we talked about having children or grandchildren say grace, mm-hmm. whether it be in the home or outside the home. We've talked about rosary. I want to talk about that a little bit more. First of all, foundation. You've heard the saying, the family that prays together stays together. The family rosary, which is something that many people have done over the years, and certainly many people do today, but not enough. Family rosary is incredibly, incredibly powerful. I'm so glad, you know, that our grandchildren see us praying the rosary and see me praying the rosary, and they ask, you know, what is that? You know, we've given them rosary. We've taught them how to pray the rosary. But praying it together, very, very important, very powerful. Community prayer of the rosary, very, very important. You can go to Mass together, daily Mass, early Mass, and usually in most churches, they pray the rosary together. Pray it before you go to bed at night. You know, very, very important. The rosary has special graces attached to it and special strength.
You know, one of the things when we've talked to people, well, why are you a Catholic today? And why do you have your faith? So many people have said, well, my mother or my grandmother, I saw them praying the rosary all the time. You know, it just that physical act of your family seeing you can really touch their heart and bring them to the Lord.
remember prayer is communication. And Marianne, you as a former teacher, and I say former, you are a teacher because you teach Bible study, and that's who you are, and that's who I consider myself too. Books, very important. You've given our grandchildren and children books about guardian angels, about their faith, about the sacraments. And there are prayer books, right, that we've given them for them to read.
And Bibles, children's Bibles, all those things. But it's not just giving it to them. It's sitting down and discussing it with them as well. You know, reading the book at a certain time and taking parts and really explaining it and into their daily life and their faith and making it part of it. And we as grandparents can have a great influence doing that for our grandchildren if they maybe aren't exposed to the faith as much as we would like them. We as grandparents can sit down and read them a book and share what it means to us.
So the reality is, and this is where we are in society, right? What do you give your grandkids or your children or whatever it might be, right? So often it's the latest video game, right? So often it's something related to that, to the world, that isn't going to help them in many cases. In fact, in some cases, it will harm them spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Why not give them something that is religious?
Because then they'll go, oh, when they open the gift.
Though. They don't necessarily.
We're
right?
afraid of that, though.
They don't necessarily. I just gave my granddaughter a bracelet of St. Benedict, you know. We've given them, you know, I just gave her a rosary. I gave her the carved wood in terms of the nativity scene, but books and so forth. They like them.
I think they
do like them.
Children are naturally hungry for the Lord. They really are. That's implanted in them, and we need to feed that hunger in them. And so, you know, if they're not exposed to it, we can bring that in. And like I said, also, I think the love that goes with it and the time of sharing, you know, why it's important is very important. It's not just the gift. It's the interaction with the gift.
So, Michael, it's the little things that can go a long way, too. It's finding those moments of prayer, finding, and someone's sick, you know, to bless them and pray over them. All that is really important.
Yeah, I find it interesting that in family life, in our family, you know, at times of crisis and when people are sick, it's kind of commonplace that we think and do prayer. And yet, on an everyday basis, not so common. And you know, I was talking to my daughter last night, and she's going to have an upcoming decision, you know, here sometime out. And, you know, I left her with the thought, well, let's pray about it. And now as I just said that, I should have said, let's pray about it right now.
Yeah, let's just pray now.
Yeah.
Or you can say, do you mind if I pray? So at the end of the day, get in the habit of praying with your family. You know, my daughter fought it in the beginning. You know, Dad, I don't want to pray. You know, it makes me uncomfortable. And then as she grew in age and children and so forth that she had, she started calling me and say, Dad, would you pray for this? Can we pray together? And so forth. You see, it's the roots.
You know, one of the things, we could just make it part of our daily life. If we look at it and we pray, like when the kids are going to school, and say, may God bless you and may the Lord help you with this test today, or, you know, just incorporate it. And may you have a good day at work, honey. You know, may the Lord bless you and you find favor. The other thing that I like to do now that we're in the different type of world is that I text my kids blessings. And you know, they really, at first I thought they'll think I'm a little weird, but they really like it. And I'll text them a blessing. I'd like to say I do it every day, but just, you know, may the Lord bless your day today. May things at work go fine, and just text them and bless them and say that prayer for them.
Very great point. You know, I do that all the time too, and use text messages to say, I love you, God bless you, praying for you, and actually have a prayer in Jesus' name, the power of the Holy Spirit, and so forth. And it's so important, and I know it means a lot to them. The other thing, too, about prayer is to bless them on the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son travels down from Northern California, and he goes back up, and before he leaves, I bless him on the forehead. Whenever possible, bless your family on the forehead. in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and the sign of the cross. You can do that through your baptism, Very important. The fifth point in Catholic marriage and family in terms of strengthening what Catholic marriages are about, what family, Catholic families are about, we have to be a foundation of forgiveness because Jesus has forgiven us. We have to not be judgmental of each other, of other people. And being a foundation of forgiveness means that we show the example by going to reconciliation, by being having that sacrament part of our life, very critical, and also by the words that we say in which we forgive those who have hurt us. We cannot be Catholics and be the strong Catholic we want to be, the strong Christian we want to be, and have adversity, animosity, resentment, lack of forgiveness as part of our life. Forgiveness has to be a cornerstone of who we are.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so often we people go, I'm sorry. I really like to say, will you forgive me? I think that that's a deeper commitment to ask. And it's tough. It's really tough. But if we role model that and we say that the forgiveness is more important, that the love of God flow through our family than holding on to something, we'll become very blessed as families if we can pass that on to others.
I remember I've talked about how we had challenges with our daughter for about 7 years. And I remember going to her and say, I'm asking your forgiveness for things I may have, not may have, that I said or did, or not being the father that you needed at the time. And it turned it around. And Michael, forgiveness with families is definitely a cornerstone.
Oh, it absolutely is. And especially as a parent, you know, to model forgiveness to our children, mm-hmm. and allowing them to see that we as parents aren't perfect. And the child learns some humility and he learns to see, he or she learns to see in their parents someone that has a human component. They make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And clearly, you know, children, they put a lot of strain and pressure on families. And my experience with my oldest son, I mean, Luke's passage on the prodigal son, I mean, I live that. I absolutely live that. But, you know, that's behind us. And, you know, whatever forgiveness needed to take place, us to our son to us, it's behind us. I like to say I drive a car without a rearview mirror. You know, amen. I don't look back. Look back.
My brothers and sisters, this is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Powered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Michael Amola. And we're talking about Catholic marriage and family. Forgiveness is a foundation. Let's face it. The people closest to us are the people who hurt us the most. Mm-hmm. And when we get hurt, we have a decision to make. Do we move towards God, consolation, move away from God, desolation? Do we have resentment? Do we stop talking to one another? Do we scream at one another? Or are we Jesus to one another? Are we living the life of love in an agape way, unconditional way? When we do that, we are giving a huge message that our faith, our belief in Jesus, the love unconditionally that Jesus has for us, is moving through us in a way that we love our marriage, our spouse, our family members, in a way how Jesus loves us unconditionally. That is what a Catholic marriage and family is about, is acceptance of one another, loving one another, but understanding the fact that Jesus is at the center of it. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're going to talk more about 7 steps of strengthening Catholic marriage and family. We'll be right back.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Each school has a full spectrum of education and development in the arts. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to OCCatholic.com/travel.
We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit, Deacon Steve Greco, here at beautiful Christ Cathedral with Marianne Greco and Michael Amola, and we've been talking about what makes a strong Catholic marriage and family. Starts out the right way, being married in the church, the sacrament of marriage, having your children baptized, very, very important, consecrating your marriage, your family to the Lord, attending Mass as a family, prayer. All the different types of prayer, rosary, praying scripture together. Whenever someone is doing something, you say a quick prayer for them. You pray over them. You bless them. Prayer books, reading books, faith-filled books, books on the saints. Having a tradition of praying, bedtime prayer, but praying whenever you can. You know, very, very important. Having a culture of prayer. We've gotten into then the importance of forgiveness, being a model of forgiveness and asking for forgiveness, modeling going to reconciliation, modeling forgiveness in every way. That is a cornerstone of our Christian faith, our Catholic faith. The sixth point that we'll talk about now is living the spiritual works of mercy and the corporate works of mercy on a routine basis, in which we strengthen our marriage together, we strengthen our family together. And it's things like taking your children, for example, to homeless shelters or places that they can make a difference. And I know for me, taking my children to Isaiah's house, helping serve food, helping with the homeless is a great example. And having them involved in, quote, Christian service or social action type projects is really a great message.
You know, it can be in the little things, too. It could be someone in the church or your neighborhood is sick. It's maybe getting together with the children and the family and making them a meal or bringing them flowers from your garden. Little things like that are reaching out to others and showing that, you know, we're one body, we care. So it can be a gamut of things from A to Z of what you do to help others. But we need to have the eyes to look for those things. Where can we go? Where can we serve others?
And it's important that you role model in terms of your marriage, doing things together, like Marianne and I will do Bible studies together. Or we'll obviously, as a deacon and deacon's wife, we will do a number of things together, sacraments together and so forth. But it's that modeling that I think is so important, and instructing them, right, which is a spiritual work of mercy, is in instructing those that don't know our faith and on really the value of praying, the value of the sacraments, the value of what we believe in. All those things are really important.
You know, and it's like thinking of others and going forth, and it's like taking, I mean, this is really simple, but, you know, teaching the children, like we take our coats that we've outgrown and we give them to someone. You know, we recycle them. We put them back into hands of people who need them. You could do that as a family project. One Christmas I had everyone in our extended family bring their jackets and their blankets and their sweaters in, and then we would give them to an organization that needed it to help clothe the homeless.
My brothers and sisters, we see in James chapter 2, verse 14 and following, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear, has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Michael, it's so important that we role model what we believe in, and certainly your family sees you so active in church in so many different ways, but feeding the poor, visiting the sick, praying together for those that are down and out or need help, all of those things are so important as role models.
Yeah, I think it's important, and I'm involved with an organization here in Southern California called American Family Housing, and we provide affordable housing for the chronically homeless. And here in Orange County, and Orange County is a rather affluent county here in California, and yet we have a massive homeless problem here. And it's really being mindful and reminding our family members of the existence of this. I mean, the contrast of what we see here in Orange County with the haves and the have-nots, it's incredible. And there are simple things to do, but we have to put a face to those mm-hmm. people. And, you know, one of the things that families can do, you know, we travel, we go to hotels, you get little bottles of shampoo, little soaps, you know, just collecting all of that stuff and dropping it off at a homeless shelter. Because, you know, it just took a little bit of effort, a little bit of thoughtfulness, and you can model that behavior to your family.
It's so important, my brothers and sisters, that you find something that you can do together as a family. You find something to make a difference. And there's so many different projects and so many different things in the area. Ask your deacon or someone in the parish, someone in faith formation, or someone who is involved in youth ministry, you know, what are some things that I can do with my family? And there's all kinds of places that you can go and all kinds of projects that you can do. You can write cards to those in prison. I mean, on and on and on, different things that you can do.
I'm reminded of our daughter and her husband. They have taken on I don't remember the organization, but a child that they support financially mm-hmm. somewhere else in the world. And they send you a picture of the child. Well, every night they pray for that child as well. So it's not just that, well, we gave money, but that they've become, you know, they get some letters about the child, but they also pray for that child and their needs.
And about family faith formation, you know, I know at our church and at many, you know, during the Christmas holidays, you know, the youth ministry puts together a program where the kids create some small Christmas ornament or plant or things like that, and they do them as a faith community within the church, and then they go and they give those gifts, you know, to senior centers, things like that. And it's as a parent, as the people who are directing the faith formation of our children, it's stepping up and making sure they participate in that.
It's laying a foundation with your children that go beyond when they get older. They use that in order to teach their own children. I'm very, very proud of my daughter that does have lung cancer. She has done an amazing job of creating and working with organizations and creating, in a sense, her own organization to help with lung cancer research. We were together in Washington, D.C., lobbying Congress. She's raised over $300,000 for lung cancer research. She's been on radio, TV, all kinds of newspaper articles and so forth, you know, really talking about the importance of making a difference for those patients that have cancer. And that's living out your faith.
And encouraging them as well to share that with their friends at school and stuff. And you talk about at school, it's like encouraging your children to participate in things that are helping the homeless or the needy in, you know, in environments of school or church. Yeah. I think, you know, taking that thing, yes, we're going to participate. It may be kind of difficult or a bother to do, but it's well worth it for our children to experience that we're thinking outside of ourselves.
It's a teachable moment.
And mm-hmm. I have to say that Catholic education is very, very important. To be a Catholic family, strongly consider Catholic education, if at all possible. Our three children went to Catholic high school. I went to a Catholic college. It makes a difference. Our two of our grandchildren are going to Catholic elementary school. And I really believe it makes a huge difference. And because all of these activities in terms of the education involve making a difference to the outside world in terms of projects that they do and working with the poor and so forth. So all of that is very important. The final point in terms of the 7 points, and 7, of course, is a perfect number. And so we often have 7 points in our teachings of strengthening of Catholic marriage and family is hope. My brothers and sisters, be that embodiment of hope. And certainly as Catholics, we have hope for the future. Jesus died on the cross and rose again that we may have eternal salvation. We have hope of living this abundant life. We have hope for our families all being together in heaven together. We have hope for the future. And being the embodiment of hope, I believe, is being very Catholic, certainly being very Christian, because Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our future. And we can't let discouragement take over. And I just think it's so important because there's so many ups and downs and challenges and tribulations of life. But when we are parents of hope, have marriage of hope, a family of hope, it's like a Pygmalion effect in the sense that it's a self-fulfilling prophecy and good things happen out of it.
So what does that look like, a family of hope? I'm taking it as a family that, you know, it'll look at someone who's going through a difficult time and say, it's going to be all right. You'll make it through it. And giving them, you know, God is with us. We'll be together. It's knowing that there's a bigger picture.
And through God's insight, through God's intervention, Romans 8:28, all things work for good for he who loves the Lord, who's called according to his purpose. That concept, the concept that God doesn't give us a trial that we can't get out of, that he will strengthen us, as it says in Philippians 4:13, he will strengthen us in 4:19. He says that God will provide our needs according to his riches and glory. It's understanding all that is so important, and being that embodiment of hope, being the embodiment that God is with us every step of the way. I often say, we'll figure it out, and we'll figure it out through the love of Christ. I want to thank again Michael and Marianne for being on the show and for all of your love and support and being the role model of great Catholic marriages and families. Heavenly Father, we pray for all the marriages out there. We pray for all the families out there, that they be embodiment of your love, that they be strengthened with hope, with courage, with prayer, with the sacraments, that they consecrate their marriages and their families to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we bless you with every spiritual blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We love you very much. We'll be with you next week at the same time. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we have been on Empowered by the Spirit.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Experience the profound power of The Passion According to St. Luke, performed by Leonardo DeFilippis, director and star of the feature film Thérèse. In this one-hour presentation, you will encounter Christ speaking directly to you, dying for you personally, and giving you the hope of eternal life. The Passion According to St. Luke is suitable for all ages and is coming soon to our area.
Come see The Passion at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove's Freed Theater, March 16th, 17th, and 18th. For ticket info, visit ccdramaseries.com.